Simple words on a page with pictures beside. This is all I have, this humble book. But oh, what words, what pictures, what a book. I am PJ Lynch, Laureate Nanoog of Ireland, and you're listening to Night Night Northwest.
Who's this?
Dennis.
What does Dennis do?
He's a library man.
He's a library man.
A library man? What does that mean? What does he do?
He sells books.
Does he sell them or does he just give them to you?
He sells them.
Do you sell them, Dennis?
No, he doesn't sell them. He loans them to you guys.
Them.
Yeah?
Right.
Go on, Tammy. What were you going to say?
He gives them to you. And then we have to bring them back in a couple of weeks.
In 2 weeks.
2 weeks. And how many books can you get?
Two. I took three.
Oh? Is that
I didn't remember that.
So, Dennis, is that your school today? And you're going to give back books and then collect more books? Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you any ideas what books you might want to take out today?
Horrid Henry.
Horrid Henry. Carter, have you any idea?
A fairy.
No? Scarlet at the back.
I'm trying to find the new My Little Pony book.
My Little Pony book, Dennis, any
luck? Oh, My Little Pony's out there today, I'm pretty
My
sure.
My Little Pony.
I want to see if I can find one of My Little Pony.
Hello and welcome to everyone here and to all our listeners at home. This is the sixth episode of Night Night Northwest. Today we are recording from the Cross Border Mobile Library, which has travelled to Rye National School in Manor Cunningham. Over the course of this radio series, we will bring you 14 unique programmes, all based on Irish children's literature. You will hear stories about a snobby cat, a dreaming tree, a little bear who just can't sleep, and Daddy Nut Brown Hair who says, guess how much I love you. We are delighted to be joined today by junior and senior infants class. Hi everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
And who's here today? Who has visited your school? With his mobile library.
Dennis.
So what did Dennis drive here to your school today?
A library van.
The library van. And who can tell me, Jonah, can you tell me what's in the library van?
Books.
Books. Lots and lots of books. Do we all like books?
Yes.
How many books do you have, Dennis? Do you know?
100.
3,300 at the moment today.
That's a lot of books, isn't it?
Yeah. I'll take
100 of them because I love reading.
Okay, would you all like to hear a story today?
Yeah.
Would you like to hear two stories?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Three.
Two. We have time for two. And then we're going to go out to Dennis's library. Can we go out to your library, Dennis?
We certainly can.
And see what's out there and you guys can bring me out and show me.
Yeah.
So this story is called A Garden for Tom. Words by Una Levy and pictures by Margaret Suggs. So on the back, you know on the back of the book it always has the description of the story? Do you know that?
Yes.
It always tells you what the story's about, so will we read the back? So are we all ready?
Yeah.
Tom longs for his own garden. So Dad plants one with him, but nothing is growing. How can he make his flowers grow? Will we find out? Tom's dad was a very busy farmer. Tom liked to help him with his work. There were cows to milk and calves to feed and hens and geese to look after. Sometimes Tom and his dad went down to the meadows. They looked at the fences to see which ones to fix. Sometimes they took cattle to the mart. Tom liked looking at all the animals. Bah, bah, moo, moo. What a lot of noise they made. When autumn came, Tom and Dad picked the potatoes. Dad dug and Tom picked. Soon there was a sackful. The cold wind whistled and reddened their noses. In winter, they went to the woods. Some trees had fallen in a storm. Dad chopped timber for firewood, and Tom picked up the twigs. Their breath came in little white clouds. In spring, there was the ploughing. Tom sat on the fence. Flocks of birds came wheeling down for worms. He clapped his hands and whirl, whirl, whirl. Away they went. But summer was best of all. Whenever there was time, Dad loved working in the garden. There were millions of flowers, tall ones and small ones, white, pink, and purple ones. Flowers blue as the sea and yellow as the sun. Oh, Dad, said Tom one day, I wish I had a garden of my own. Dad looked at him. A garden is hard work, Tom. He said, you have to mind it all year round. Please let me have one, said Tom. So next day, Tom and Dad went to the garden centre. Tom had never seen such a place. There were gardening tools and watering cans. There were plants in pots and boxes of seeds. Dad bought a yellow trowel and a small red watering can. He bought packets of seeds with pictures on the front, flowers blue as the sea and yellow as the sun. Now, said Dad, when they got home, here's all you need to start your own garden. He showed Tom so many things, how to dig the soil and plant the seeds and cover them snugly up. Tom planted his seeds and pressed the earth softly over them. That night, when Tom looked out, the moon was shining. It shone on Dick the cat and Scrap the dog and on the hen house roof. It shone on the dark patch that was Tom's new garden. He could not wait for morning. But the next day, there was nothing to be seen. Tom could not believe it. He dug up the seeds to look, but nothing had grown. Every morning he had a look, and every morning the seeds looked just the same. Tom was fed up. My seeds are not growing, Daddy, said Tom one day. Every morning I dig them up to look, but they're not growing. Oh, Tom, Dad said, you mustn't dig them up. Seeds have to grow by themselves. So Tom let them grow all by themselves. But his troubles were not over yet. When Dick the cat went bird hunting, he always chose Tom's garden. When Scrap the dog had bones to bury, it was her favorite place. Some hungry hens came looking there for worms. Get out, yelled Tom as he raced across to chase them away. He was so angry that he didn't see the rake. Splat, he crashed across it and scraped his hands and face. Dad bathed the cuts. That was enough for Tom. His garden had caused nothing but trouble, and he would not go to look at it again. Days came and went. Summer was almost gone. Tom forgot about his garden. And then it was Dad's birthday. What could Tom give him? He thought and thought. Dick the cat snoozed in the sun. Scrap the dog panted in the heat. And what about the hens? As usual, they were in Tom's garden looking for worms. Get out, yelled Tom as he raced across to chase them. Suddenly he stopped. He had a great idea. At tea time, Dad got lots of cards and presents. Then Tom came in with a special bunch of flowers. Happy birthday, Dad, he said.
Happy
They're from my own garden. Well done, Dad said. You did a great job. They're as blue as the sea and as yellow as the sun. That night when Tom looked out, the moon was shining. It shone on Dick the cat and Scrap the dog and on the hen house roof. It shone on a million flowers in Tom's own garden. Thanks for growing, he whispered. And then he went
to bed.
To sleep. The end. Did you like that?
Yes.
Do you want to look at some pictures?
Yes.
So who's that?
Tom.
That must be Tom. And what happened to Tom? What was he doing wrong with his garden?
He was digging it up.
He kept digging up the seeds. That's not what you're supposed to do. Sure it isn't. Does anyone remember the name of the cat?
Tom.
No.
Tom's Scrap. A person.
Scrap and...
Tom.
Dick.
Tom.
Dick the cat and Scrap the dog. Did you like that story?
Yes.
Do any of you guys have gardens?
Yes. I have lots of flowers, about millions.
Millions of flowers?
So all I have is a stony garden.
Oh. But you can get some pots.
Just stones.
So can I read another story to you guys? This is the second story, right?
Cat.
And it's called... Can anyone read the title?
Cat.
It's a tricky word.
Snobby cat.
Snobby. What does snobby mean, Sam?
Dirty.
Do you know what snobby means?
Dirty.
Smelly.
No.
Dirty.
No.
Smelly.
It's a good guess, but no, it means sort of snobby. She's full of herself. She thinks she's very, very important.
I know.
Hairs.
She has a real chip on her shoulder.
Sort of like that, yeah. Very well put, Ella. Yes, Sophie.
Being selfish.
Could be selfish. Will we find out what snobby means?
Yeah.
Because this is a story about a snobby cat. Words by Patrick Deely. Pictures by Tatiana Feeney. So we'll read the back again, and that tells us what the story is about. Orlando is a snob. He drinks cream, not milk. He won't eat ordinary fish. Oh, no, he eats... salmon. But what happens when he has to catch mice?
Ugh.
Ugh. This sounds good, doesn't it? Are we ready? Orlando wasn't just any old cat. He was a Persian black smoke with long flowing fur and large amber eyes. What's more, he lived in the biggest, grandest house in the village. Each morning, Orlando would stand on a pedestal while his owner, Bertha Brown, groomed his fur. Not a single hair could be left out of place. Orlando didn't take milk, oh no. He drank...
Cream
from a china bowl. And he slept in a basket filled with silk cushions. But one night, when Orlando couldn't sleep, he slipped through the cat flap out into the garden. The moon shone, bringing a gleam to his eye. Orlando made gentle twirls and twists on the garden path. Oh my, he said, I've never had such wild fun. Suddenly he stopped. What were those shadowy shapes slinking slowly through the flower beds? Yes, it was those beastie cats from Catterwall Corner. What were they doing in his garden? One fellow was missing an eye. A second had only half an ear. A third hopped on three legs. And a fourth had lost his tail. They're in bad shape. The Catterwall Corner cats jumped on each other, making a mad furry ball. How common, Orlando hissed. Clear off, You mangy cats. The cats stopped just long enough to snigger at Orlando. Then they turned back to wrestle and roll among the flower beds again. I must let Bertha know, Orlando cried. He saw a large flower pot on the windowsill. He leapt up and the pot fell with a loud crash. The window of Bertha's room shot open. Away, you scruffy cats, she shrieked. A vase full of water came tumbling down right on top of Orlando, drenching him to the bone. The tomcats fled. Orlando just stood and shivered. Next morning, Orlando's fur was still wet. He stood all on end, making him look spiky as a hedgehog. He had to stand on his pedestal for 2 whole hours while Bertha sprayed and shampooed and groomed him. Only when he was looking his best could he come out to sit at a table. There was cream and there was cheese on a board. There was butter in a dish and there was
salmon.
Breakfast, my darling, said Bertha. Orlando smiled. Everything was back to normal. After dinner, he crept onto Bertha's lap as she was sleeping beside the sitting room fire. He began to doze. Tap, tap. Screech. Scrip, scrap. What was that? Noises coming from the spare room. Orlando opened one eye and twitched one ear. Scrip, scrip.
Scratch.
Tap, tip. Scrum.
Scrum.
Suddenly, Orlando was flung into the air. Bertha had woken up. Mice, mice,
mice,
she screamed. Mice. Orlando, go up and catch those dreadful creatures at once, she ordered. Orlando stared at Bertha from the fireside rug where he had landed. Me, he thought. How can she ask me to catch mice? But he knew those mice would have to be caught, and it was his job. Slowly he climbed the stairs. He pushed open the spare room door. Yuck, he said, he could smell the mice. I am afraid of mice.
Why is he afraid of mice?
Orlando turned and ran. He ran into Bertha's bedroom, jumped over Bertha's bed, and out through the window. He tumbled down to the garden below and landed almost on his feet. I know what I'll do, he gasped. I'll hire a mouse hunter. He saw a magpie perched on a chimney pot. I'm a nest robber, not a mouse hunter, the magpie sneered. Find a hawk if you're too lazy to catch the mice yourself. Orlando had no idea where to look for a hawk. He went to the park. Above his head, he saw a kite and the smoky trail of a jet, but no hawk. Orlando stroked his whiskers and thought, the alley cats, he said at last. I'll get them to help. He strolled to Catterwall Corner and looked around. Where can they be? He wondered. Suddenly, a bin lid fell with a clatter. A manhole cover lifted. An old door creaked open. One by one, the Catterwall cats came out. They smirked and winked slyly. They stood in a circle around Orlando. I was wondering, Orlando said, clearing his throat, if you guys would catch some mice for me up at Bertha's house. The Catterwall cats blinked and scratched themselves with their long, dirty nails. Why don't you catch them yourself? One Eye hissed. Well, said Orlando, only common cats catch mice. And you see, I am not a common cat. Too posh to catch mice. Three Legs sniggered. Tell us what kind of cat is a cat who can't catch mice? Oi. He's no cat, Half-Ear snarled.
Cute.
He's a chicken. Maybe he's a mouse, laughed No-Tail. Or a fraidy cat, added One-Eye. He's a catastrophe, yelled Three-Legs. They all rolled around laughing. Then the Caterwaul corner cats rushed at Orlando, hissing and spitting. Orlando ran. What will I do, he wondered. I can't go home now. I must get those mice. Night came. Orlando crept back to Bertha's garden. He climbed into the branches of an old oak tree and gazed sadly in at his old house. Next moment, he heard a ghostly voice. Ooh, ooh, I can get rid of the mice. Orlando jumped. He nearly fell out of the tree. He was staring into the large round eyes of a barn owl. There's a hole under the roof, she whispered. I can go through it and eat up all the mice. But why, asked Orlando, why do you want to help me? I don't, said the owl, but mice are my favorite food and I like the spare room to myself every day so I can sleep in peace. It's a deal, said Orlando. Don't let Bertha find out. Next morning, Bertha listened for the mice. Nothing. Not a scritch. Not a scratch. They're gone, she said. She gathered Orlando up in her arms. My hero, she beamed. Orlando was delighted. Orlando's problem was solved. But there was a catch. One day the owl wanted Orlando's cream. She wanted his salmon. And she wanted his silk cushions. Poor Orlando. Now he was a servant to a bird. Where will it all end?
Did you read that whole book?
Yeah. Did you like that story?
Yes.
What was the cat's job?
Get the mice.
To catch the mice. You were very good at reading these words with me. Scrip, scrape.
Scrip, scrape.
Tap, tip.
Tap, tip.
Shrum.
Shrum.
Tap, tip.
Tap, tip.
Scritch.
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 Scrip, scrape.
Scrip, scrape.
Very good. Will we go out to Dennis's library now?
Yeah.
Dennis, is the library open?
The library is open. You guys bring your books back today, yeah?
Okay, you found Captain Underpants. Magic Molly.
Some lights up there.
I'm gonna get a fairy.
So you know where all the books are in this library,
yeah,
don't
yeah.
you? Do you like coming to the library, kids?
Yeah.
Well, Emma, let's see.
Right.
Three books. My Little Pony.
Right. We're going to allow you three
Horrid
today,
Henry
Emma,
Adele.
Because it's a special day.
Show me. Horrid
Henry, two,
yeah.
Isn't that right?
Wakes the Dead
yeah.
and Magic Molly.
You must remember to bring back three.
It's a good choice. It's a good choice.
Simple words on a page with pictures beside. This is all I have, this humble book. But oh, what words, what pictures, what a book. I am P.J. Lynch, Laureate Nanogue of Ireland, and you're listening to Night Night Northwest.
That's it from this episode of the series. I'd like to thank the children from Ray National School Manor Cunningham, County Donegal, and Dennis, our mobile van librarian. Please join us next week when we will be broadcasting from Twin Towns Library in Stranorlar, and we will be joined by the pupils from St. Mary's National School. So until next week.
A Garden for Tom, read by Alison Toomey. Written by Una Levy, with pictures by Margaret Suggs. First published in 1998 by the O'Brien Pandas. Snobby Cat, read by Alison Toomey. Written by Patrick Deely and illustrated by Tatiana Feeney. First published in 2005 by O'Brien Pandas.
Night Night Northwest Series 2
was written, produced, directed and presented by Alison Toomey, with sound recordist Mary Harkin and editor Orla Malone. A Real Films production, funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee, along with the Donegal County Council Library Service and Creative Ireland.